Happy Ram Navami to everybody. I am actually away from the temple. I am in many of our temples. I am in a place called Coimbatore in South India. It's at the border of Tamil Nadu and Kerala. It's in Tamil Nadu. And we are having an Ayurvedic treatment here in a place by the ground. It's a very nice place. Beautiful, far from everything, and it is so I'm here having treatment, and Hemanga is here, Shripati is here with me, and Anand also came and joined us a few days back. He just took off from his work and just came here to also have the treatment and have give us his association. And okay, so since today is Ram Navami, I thought of speaking on Lord Ramchandra. Lord Ramchandra, who is Lord Ramchandra? Lord Ramchandra is Krishna's expansion, Krishna's incarnation. Krishna's expansion takes place in two ways. He expands as Swamsa, and he also expands as Vibhinnamsa. Swamsa means he himself expands with his full potency. He himself expands. And his Vibhinnamsa are his expansions in his as his parts. He expands as his parts and parcels. A kind of analogy can be given in this respect, like that of a sun. So the sun, can just imagine one sun becomes two, three, four, five, six. In this way, the sun expands with his full potency. So if Krishna is compared to the sun, his incarnations are his expansions in that way. Full potency is there, he himself is there. But the sun's rays, they are minute expansions from the sun. So the jivas or living entities are the minute expansions. And they are called Vibhinnamsa. Swamsa and Vibhinnamsa. Vibhinnamsa, the jivas, we are qualitatively one with Krishna, but quantitatively we are different from him. But his Swamsa expansions are, he himself expands. Like Krishna's first expansion is Balaram. Balaram then expands as Chaturbhuha in Dwarka. Krishna becomes Vasudev, Balaram becomes Sankarshan, and then Pradyumna and Aniruddha. And then Krishna further expands as Narayan. And Ramchandra is an incarnation of Krishna to establish the principle of Dharma. Therefore, he is considered to be the Marjada Purushottam. Krishna comes to this planet, or Krishna comes to this material nature to establish dharma. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharatah. Abhuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam shijam. As Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, whenever there is a decline in religious principles, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharatah. And abhuttanam adharmasya, an increase of adharma, irreligiosity. Then, dharma sangsthapana arthaya, in order to establish dharma, Krishna comes to this planet, to this world, to this material nature. He has many, many incarnations. There are innumerable universes, and to maintain or organize the universal affairs, Krishna comes from time to time. In all the universes, he expands. There are innumerable universes, and there are innumerable incarnations of Krishna. So that is his inconceivable potency. So, in Treta Yuga, the time moves, like, as you know, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, and Kali Yuga. In Treta Yuga, there was a demon called Ravan. Ravan became extremely powerful, being blessed by Brahma. He acquired inconceivable power from Lord Brahma. Actually, these demons, in order to... What are you doing? Oh, no, no. Okay. That these demons, in order to acquire power, they actually please some great personalities, especially Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. So, Lord Shiva is very easy to please. Therefore, Lord Shiva's name is Ashutosh. He's very quickly pleased. Asu means quickly. Lord Shiva is pleased very quickly, and Lord Brahma is also pleased very quickly. So these demons, they try to please Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to get some inconceivable power, unusual power. They actually want to become immortal. That's what Ravan wanted, to become immortal, just like Hiranyakashipu. They're actually the same person. Ravan and Hiranyakashipu are the same person. Who are they? As you remember, in Vaikuntha, there are two gatekeepers, Joy and Vijay. So Joy and Vijay came to in Satya Yuga as Ravan, as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. That same Jai Vijay came in Dwapar Yuga, in Treta Yuga as Ravan and Kumbhakarna. And then in Dwapar Yuga they came as Shishupal and Dantavakra. So, these personalities, two personalities, came as Ravan and Kumbhakarna. Ravan is the elder brother and Kumbhakarna is the younger brother. They became extremely powerful. And how they became powerful? Ravan performed austerities in the Himalayas. He went to Himalayas and performed austerities for thousands of years. And he was eventually was cutting his head and throwing it into the fire to please Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma then came to him and asked him, why are you performing such austerities? And Ravan then told him that I want to be immortal. Then Brahma said, look, in this material nature, no one is immortal. In this material nature, everyone is going to die. Because everyone comes to the material nature taking birth, and whoever is born must die. Jatasahi dhruva mrittur dhruvam janma mritasya. So anyone who is born must die. So so Ravan then told him, okay, then give me the boon that I won't be killed by. So he kept on telling, I won't be killed by any deva, I won't kill by any dānava, I won't be killed by any rakshasa, I won't be killed by any jaksha, any serpent, any... He named everything that he could think of, that he won't be killed by them. And Brahma gave him those boons. But then finally, Ravan actually forgot to ask. Or it is said that actually Ravan did not think much of the human beings. Therefore, he didn't ask about the human beings. That was the only mistake he made. So the situation of this world was so terrible that the demigods kept on praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as a result of that, the Supreme Personality of Godhead decided to come. And he came as a human being. He appeared in the Ikshaku dynasty. It's the Surya dynasty, the dynasty, the Kshatriya dynasty that is coming from Surya Dev. You remember in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying that Imang Vivashyate Yogam Praptavan Aham Abhayam Vivashyan Manave Praho Manor Ikshakuve Abravit. So this dynasty is coming from Vivashyan. Vivashyan is Surya Dev, the sun god. And Vivashyan's son is Manu, the seventh Manu, Vaivashyata Manu. And Manu's son is Ikshaku. And in this way, this line has been established. That is Kshatriya dynasty that is coming from Surya, is known as Surya Vamsa. There are two Kshatriya dynasties, Surya Vamsa and Chandra Vamsa. Surya Vamsa is from the sun god and Chandra Vamsa is from the moon god. So, Lord Ramchandra appeared. In the Surya Vamsa, there is a very powerful and very righteous king, Dasarath, who was the son of Aja. And the whole line from Vivashyan can be traced. For thousands of years, so many generations down, from Satya Yuga, it came down to Treta Yuga. And Lord Ramchandra appeared. Now there is also another very wonderful anecdote about Lord Ramchandra's appearance. Dasarath did not have any son. Although he was an extremely powerful king, and although he got married to three very beautiful and very righteous, very pious queens, Kaushalya, Sumitra, and Kaikeyi. But he didn't have any son. And then eventually Dasarath performed a yajna. Actually, Dasarath's guru is Vasishtha Muni. Vasishtha Muni told him to perform this yajna. He performed two yajnas, Ashwamedh yajna, and then he performed the Putrashti yajna. And from the Putrashti yajna, from the sacrificial fire, a personality came out with holding a pot of sweet rice. And he offered it to King Dasarath, and he told that you give it to your queen, and they will get children. And so the principal queen was Kaushalya. So Kaushalya gave birth to Ram, Sumitra gave birth to Lakshman, and Kaikeyi gave birth to Bharat and Shatrughna. So these are actually the four expansions of Krishna: Vasudev, Shankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. The Chaturbhuja appeared as Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. Ramchandra is Vasudev, Lakshman is Sankarshan, Bharat is Pradyumna, and Aniruddha is Shatrughna. Bharat is Pradyumna, and Shatrughna is Aniruddha. So these are the four expansions. And Bharat was very fond, Bharat and Shatrughna was very fond of each other. And Ram and Lakshman was very fond of Lord Ramchandra. Although these four brothers were very, very intimately associated, naturally, expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the same personality appeared in four forms. So, Ramchandra was the eldest. And, okay, then when Ramchandra was just about 16 years old, one very powerful sage, Vishwamitra, came to Dasarath. So Dasarath greeted him very nicely. But then Vishwamitra told, but when Dasarath asked what could he do for him, because it is a custom that when a sage or a saintly person comes to your house, the householder asks him, what can I do for you? And so Vishwamitra said, look, there are two demons who are causing a lot of disturbance in the in our ashram when we perform sacrifices. So these two demons are two associates of Ravana named Maricha and Subahu. And I want your son to take care of them, Ram to take care of them. So Dasarath was so fond of Ram, and this proposal sounded so terrible because one of Dasarath's ancestors was also killed by Ravan. And so the memory was quite vivid in their mind that he was a king and Ravan came and challenged him. And in that battle, that king died. So he naturally thought that Ravan is practically invincible and Ravan's associates, so they should be also so powerful. And Ram is only 16 years old and he did not even complete his military training. And so Dasarath begged him that please, let me go with you and I will take care of those demons. But Vishwamitra became very angry. He said that, look, if I wanted you, then I would have told you to come with me. I want your son to come. Now when Vishwamitra insisted like that, Dasarath fainted. So deep was his attachment to Ramchandra. Because he was thinking that my son, young son, if he goes there, he is not going to survive. So then Vishwamitra became very, very upset. And so Vasishtha actually advised Dasarath that, look, Vishwamitra himself is so powerful that if he wanted, he could kill those demons. But because he has taken a vow of spiritual life, he doesn't want to cause any kind of violence to anybody. And so when Vishwamitra is asking Ram, there must be some reason behind it. And you can rest assured that he'll give you the protection. He'll give him the protection. So upon his spiritual master's advice, Dasarath agreed to let Ramchandra go. So anyway, Ram was accompanied by Lakshman. They went and Ramchandra very easily killed that demon Maricha and Subahu. And Vishwamitra was very pleased. Vishwamitra actually, we have to understand that he knew who Ramchandra was. Ramchandra, he knew that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he also knew that Lakshmi Devi also appeared. So he wanted to unite the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, with Lakshmi Devi. So he took Ram to the palace of King Janak in Mithila from there. And he told that Ram was interested to see the bow of Lord Shiva. He had, Janakraj had. So the bow was brought, and there was a condition that only if someone could string that bow could marry Sita. So, and in this way we can see that Janak also knew that Sita Devi is Lakshmi Devi, therefore he did not want Sita to be married to anyone other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And how could he recognize that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he would be more powerful than Lord Shiva, or as there he would be able to string the bow of Lord Shiva. So, and many kings previously tried and no one succeeded. So now, when Ramchandra came and the bow was brought, it is said that 50 men carried the bow in a vehicle with 16 wheels. It was so heavy and so large. But Lord Ramchandra, very easily, he not only strung the bow, but as he pulled the string, the bow broke. So in this way, Janak recognized that here is the suitable husband for Sita Devi. So Sita Devi was given in marriage to Lord Ramchandra. The news was sent to Dasarath. Dasarath came, wedding was performed. But while they were going back, another interesting happening took place. When they were going back to Ayodhya from Mithila, on the way, they encountered Parashuram. He is another incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had wiped out the Kshatriyas for 21 times from the surface of the earth. And so he challenged Ramchandra. I heard that you have strung the bow of Lord Shiva and you have broke. He considered that it was an insult that an ordinary human being broke the bow of Lord Shiva. So he gave him his bow and said that let us see, string this. So it has been described when Lord Ramchandra took the bow from his hand, he also took away the potency, the Shakti that he invested in Parashuram. So Parashuram came with the purpose to wipe out the Kshatriyas and establish the proper Dharma. So now he came, there was the mission of Kshatriya, mission of Parashuram has been accomplished. So he took away and Parashuram recognized that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he offered obeisances and left the place. Now when Ram arrived, the whole place, whole city was extremely joyous and they were celebrating. And in the meantime, Dasharath considered that he has become quite old and he should retire. And Ram is now there, he is grown up, so he should become coronated as the crown prince. Is it showing? Maipur TV is working? Okay. Okay. So, yeah. So that way, Lord Ramchandra was about to be coronated as the king. But Kaikeyi had a maid servant whose name was Manthara. She was hunchback. And it is described that not only she was crooked in her body, she was also very crooked in her mind also. But of course, we have to understand that this is the Lord's pastimes. Whatever the Supreme Personality of Godhead does, He does it with a purpose. So it is his pastime, it's like a play. And a play must have conflict, and play must have drama. That conflict creates the drama. And better the conflict, greater the drama. So here the conflict comes. Kaikeyi demands that her son Bharat should become the king. And there was also some string to that episode, some lead to that episode, some connection rather to that episode. When Dasarath was fighting on behalf of the demigods against the demons, he became seriously injured. And at that time, Kaikeyi treated Dasarath so nicely that when Dasarath became well, then he told Kaikeyi that you took care of me so nicely. I'm so pleased with you. So he asked for two boons. And so Kaikeyi asked for, at that time Kaikeyi told that I don't need anything from you. You have given me everything that I need. What do I need any more boon for? So, but Dasarath told, but in future if you ever need anything, just let me know. So Manthara reminded Kaikeyi, after vitiating Kaikeyi's mind, that now is the time that she should ask for these two boons. On the first boon, she should ask for Ram's exile to the forest. The first boon actually she asked was that Bharat should become the king instead of Ram. And then Ram should be sent in exile to the forest for 14 years. So when Dasarath first heard, he couldn't believe his ears. He thought that Kaikeyi was just joking, because he saw that Kaikeyi loved Ram as her own son. She did not see any difference between Bharat and Shatrughna and Ram and Lakshman. But now she is asking that Ram should not become the king, which was his natural right, that the eldest son becomes the king, inheriting the father's property. And not only that, Ram should be sent to exile in a forest for 14 years. But when he realized that Kaikeyi was serious, he just fainted. And when he again regained his senses, he asked Kaikeyi, was it that I was dreaming? And Kaikeyi then told, no, this is what I want. And Dasarath again fainted. So in this way, the night passed. And in the morning, Ram came. That day, Ram was supposed to be coronated. And he came and he came to see his father on the day of coronation and take his blessings. But then when he saw his father in that pitiable condition, he inquired what happened. Dasarath couldn't speak. But Kaikeyi actually told the whole episode, what has happened, and her claim that Bharat becomes the king. And this drama was so perfectly set that at that time Bharat was not there in Ayodhya. Bharat was away in his uncle's place, his mother's brother's place, mother's father's kingdom. So Bharat was not present, because if Bharat was there, then Bharat would never have allowed this to happen. And we can also see that the drama was so perfectly set that at that time Bharat was not there, Shatrughna was not there, and so Ram accepted, fine, if that is what my father committed to you, and if my father has given you the promise, then sure, I'll go to the forest and I won't have any claim. So Ram leaves Ayodhya wearing three, and so did Lakshman and Sita. Lakshman didn't want to stay there. He said, no, I'll go with you. You can't be alone. And Sita Devi also followed Ramchandra. Actually, it was not allowed. Ram didn't want them to come at first, especially Sita. He said, how will you live in the forest? Not only that place is so dangerous, but there won't be any kind of place to live. There won't be any place to sleep. So in this way, Ramchandra tried to persuade Sita, but Sita insisted, no, you're my husband. Wherever you go, I'm supposed to go with you. So in this way, Sita Devi also is establishing the dharma of a perfect wife. Just as Ramchandra has come to establish the dharma or ideal example, the perfect example of an ideal king, Sita Devi is establishing the role or dharma of an ideal wife. In Vedic culture, the wife's role is to follow the husband in whatever situation he is in. In happiness and or in distress, the wife follows the husband. So this way, through this pastime, the Lord and his associates and his consorts are establishing the perfect example for people to follow. That's why Lord Ramchandra is the Maryada Purushottam. He's establishing Maryada of Dharma, the perfect standard of Dharma. And anyway, so he goes to the forest. And in the forest, Ramchandra was having a wonderful time. Actually, the Lord came also to give his association to his devotees. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata, as I said. So, paritrana sadhunam, he comes to give association to the sadhu, protect the sadhus. But the sadhus live in the forest. That's why Ramchandra decided to go to the forest. And this was just the pastimes, an arrangement for him to go to the forest. So in the forest, he was associating with so many wonderful sages. And many years went by, about 13 years went by in the forest that way. Then they were in the place called Panchavati. So there they were residing for some time. They set up, Lakshman built a small hut on the bank of a river. And so they were spending their time. Then one day, one demoness called Surpanakha, who was the sister of Ravan, came there. This forest was actually hard rain. In a battle, Surpanakha's husband died, and Ravan decided to take care of his widowed sister, and he gave her the forest. And there was two generals with 14,000 soldiers, Rakshasa soldiers, were protecting her in the forest. So Surpanakha, when saw Ram and Lakshman coming from the river after taking the bath, she became enchanted by Ram's beauty. So she assumed the form of a beautiful woman and approached Ram and asked him to marry her. So Ramchandra then told him that, look, I'm already married and my wife is here, so it won't be a proper proposal for me to marry. Rather, you marry my younger brother. He is here alone and his wife is away. So in this way, Ramchandra cracked a joke was making fun of Surpanakha. And so Surpanakha then approached Lakshman. Then Lakshman said, look, you are such a noble lady. If you become my wife, then you'll become subordinate to Ram and his wife, and you have to live like a maidservant. So that won't be a proper proposal. So rather you go for Ram. In this way, she was shuttling back and forth between Ram and Lakshman. And then finally she thought that Sita was the cause of her not being able to fulfill her desire. So she just assumed her terrible form as a Rakshasi and wanted to devour Sita. So at that time Lakshman took out his sword and chopped off Surpanakha's nose and ears. So then Surpanakha, crying, went back to her brother Khara and Dushana, another two brothers of Ravan, who were protecting. And Khara and Dushana sent his most powerful soldiers to find out who this person is and take care of him, kill him. Just a human being dares to act in this way. So that's why he just went, and they went to kill Ram. But Ram single-handedly took care of these soldiers of Khara and Dushana. And one of them were allowed to escape. And he went and reported what happened. Then Khara and Dushana with their 14,000 Rakshasa soldiers came and attacked Ram. And Ram single-handedly dealt with all these 14,000. And finally he killed Khara and all these soldiers of Khara and Dushana, and Khara and Dushana also were killed. Then Surpanakha then went and reported to Ravan. So in this way, the drama builds up, or the Krishna Lord and his pastimes build up. Surpanakha reported Ravan. And as you know, what happened, most of you I'm sure know what happened. Then Ravan came and stole Sita. He got the help of Marichi, who was actually taken care of Ramchandra in Vishwamitra's ashram. Ram at that time didn't kill Marichi. He hit him with an arrow and made him fly for 8,000 miles and landed him in the ocean. So somehow Marichi survived. But he understood Ram's strength and he became extremely afraid of Ram. And when also he saw Ram in the forest, he tried to take revenge. There also Ram treated him so in such a way that he somehow escaped and survived. And he told Ravan that, look, just don't get involved with this person. He's an extremely powerful person, and through that you are simply inviting your death. But Ravan was adamant. Marichi told him that, look, after being attacked by Ram for the second time, I'm seeing Ram everywhere. Wherever, because Ramchandra's complexion was greenish and he was wearing tree bark. He said, in the forest, even when I see the trees, I see Ram because of the green leaves and the bark of the tree. So in this way they were having a conversation. But Ravan finally told him that, look, either you listen to me or I will kill you. So Marichi decided that if it's a choice between being killed by Ravan or being killed by Ram, it is better that I be killed by Ram. So he complied to Ravan's request, and he assumed the form of a golden deer, and he enticed Sita Devi and made Ram follow him. And in this way, when Ram was taken away into the middle of the forest, and Ram finally killed him with an arrow. But before dying, he imitated the voice of Ram and called out to Lakshman for help. So when Sita heard Ram's voice asking for help, she persuaded Lakshman to go and help. Although Lakshman knew that nobody can do anything to Ram, and it was that Rakshasa's trick. But Sita could not believe that. So Sita persuaded and even insulted Lakshman. And when Lakshman was gone, then Ravan came and stole Sita. Jatayu, the bird, was trying to protect Sita against while Ravan was trying to steal. But Jatayu was injured by his wings were cut off by Ravana's sword. Jatayu was so powerful that he broke Ravan's chariot, flying chariot, Pushpakarath. So when Ram came back and couldn't find Sita and he was looking for Sita, then Jatayu told what happened. So then Ram started to look for Sita in the forest. And then finally, another thing that happened at that time was there was a demon who attacked Ram and Lakshman, Kabandha. It's a demon who didn't have a head, whose eyes and mouth was on his chest, but he had long hands and extremely powerful hands. And with two hands he caught Ram and Lakshman. And in that condition, when in order to free themselves, Ram and Lakshman cut off his hand. And then this Kavandha, who was actually a Gandharva, cursed by Indra to become a demon like that. And the condition, and when he begged forgiveness and asked for some remedy from this curse, and Indra told, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes and cuts off your hands, then only you'll be released. And if he buries you and cremates you, then you'll get back your Gandharva body again. So Ramchandra, on his request, did that. And then Kavandha, before dying, gave him the information that the monkey king, Sugriva, is there by the mountain next to Pampa Sarovar, and so he asked him to go there and seek for his assistance to rescue his wife Sita Devi. So Ram went and met Sugriv and his assistant Hanuman, his minister actually, Hanuman. And there are five monkeys together like that. And so Ram helps Sugriv to regain his kingdom. And Sugriv in exchange assured him to help him with his monkey force. So in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead enacts another extremely wonderful pastimes. In one hand, this Rakshasa, Ravan, the Rakshasa king, who is so powerful that he defeated all the demigods. Even Jamraj was defeated by him, the god of death. Jamraj actually could have killed Ravan. But when he was about to kill Ravan with his Jamadanda, striking him with Jamadanda, and no one can escape this Jamadanda, because the Jamadanda is the danda of death. And then Brahma came, told Yamraj, that don't kill him now. He is not meant to be killed. He is destined to be killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So just tolerate him. So then Jamraj disappeared, and Ravan thought that he defeated even Jamraj. So the personality who has been even who even defeated the demon, I mean the demigods, who are extremely powerful personalities, who are the controllers of the universal affairs, even they couldn't deal with Ravan and his army. And now Lord Ramchandra is going to oppose him, contest with him, fight with him, with a regiment, with the soldiers of monkeys, who did not have, we didn't have any expertise in fighting any battle with weapons. They can't use bows and arrows. They can't use any sword or anything. They don't have that skill. All they can do is throw stones. But this is how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pointing out that whoever becomes his devotees and sides with him is going to win. No matter how powerful the opponent may appear to be. So here Ramchandra is fighting with the monkeys, and these monkeys, of course, are not ordinary monkeys. They are also the demigods, taken birth as monkeys to assist Lord Ramchandra. So, but the wonderful example the Lord is setting here to teach us that if we side with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then no matter how powerful our opponent may be, we are going to become victorious. We are going to win. We are going to get the victory. And in that battle, that's what happened. A terrible battle ensued, and all kinds of wonderful things happened. Lanka was invincible because it was in the middle of an ocean. Nobody could actually approach there. But Ramchandra built an ocean, built a bridge across the ocean. And he carried the army there. And distant place in the middle of the ocean, but he had built a bridge. And incidentally, that remains of the bridge now has been detected through the aerial. Maybe it can be seen in the Google that the remains of the bridge is still there. Although Setubandha, part of the land, goes into the ocean, that is visible still today. But under the thing, we can see that it was the remains of a bridge. It's still there. So these are not just some fairy tales. This is factual happenings. The Supreme Personality of Godhead came and he enacted his pastimes with his devotees. And Hanuman was the first one to bring the news of Sita from there. And when it was confirmed that Sita was there, then the army was, monkey army was mobilized. And through the bridge they came, and a beautiful description is there how the monkey soldiers fought against this Rakshasa. Time and time again, there had been many adversaries, but they had eventually conquered all those difficulties, overcome all the difficulties. And finally, Kumbhakarna was the first one, and then Ravan were killed. When Ram was fighting with Ravan, then Indra sent his chariot, because Ravan was fighting on a chariot, and Ramchandra was fighting on the ground on foot. So that is not a fair way to fight. And so this chariot came, Ram got into the chariot and fought with Ravan. Ravan actually had nectar in his heart. And with one arrow, Ram was told, Agastya Muni gave him one weapon, that the sun weapon, and with that he dried out the nectar, and then he killed him. So in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead killed the demon king Ravan and established Dharma. And Ram Rajya, Ramchandra established his kingdom, which is an ideal kingdom. Therefore it is called Ram Rajya, the kingdom or reign of Lord Ramchandra. So that is considered to be the ideal kingdom in the human society. In India also, people, there is a political leaders used to make a claim that they will establish Ram Rajya. But in response to that, Srila Prabhupada pointed out, if you want to establish Ram Rajya, kingdom of Ramchandra, then you have to bring Lord Ramchandra back. You can't expect that a bunch of demons are ruling the country and they will establish Ram Rajya. Only Ramchandra can establish Ram Rajya. So we can see that real Ram Rajya will be established through ISKCON. When ISKCON establishes Krishna consciousness all over the world, then only the real Ram Rajya will be established. The kingdom of God. So today is Ram Navami, and it's a wonderful day to remember Lord Ramchandra. Pray to him that we can develop our attachment to him, that we can develop our devotion to his lotus feet, and we can constantly remember him, and we can become engaged in his service all the time. The Supreme Personality of Godhead comes to enact his most wonderful pastimes. Actually, mind naturally wants to become attracted to something that is exciting, that is wonderful, that is beautiful. That's why the Lord comes to enact his pastimes, to show how wonderful he is, how beautiful he is, how opulent he is, how powerful he is, so that we can constantly remember him. And that is the only way to become free from the material bondage and become elevated to the spiritual sky. As Krishna said, manmana bhava, that how can we think of Krishna? We can think of Krishna only by remembering his wonderful pastimes. His pastimes are so wonderful, his teachings are so wonderful, his activities are so wonderful, his form is so beautiful, that once we become exposed to him properly, then it is not difficult to remember him or think of him all the time. So that's why the Lord has made this wonderful arrangement for us to become absorbed in his thoughts. So, these are the occasions when we learn how to remember him all the time, how to think of him all the time. So, Shri Ramachandra ki jai. Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Sita Ram Jai Sita Ram. Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram, Patita Pavana Sita Ram. So we have to pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead that we can remember Him. Because only by His mercy we will develop our attraction for Him. Actually, His illusory energy is very strong. It is enchanting heart, this Maya. His illusory energy is constantly dragging our mind, constantly pulling our attraction. We are pulling us towards, attracting us towards our illusory arrangement. And as a result of that, our mind is constantly distracted. We are always thinking of material attractions, which is based on our senses and allured by sense gratification. It is difficult to overcome. Daibihesha gunamai mama maya durattaya. This illusory energy of the Lord, daivi maya, the illusory energy of the Lord is divine energy of the Lord. And it is difficult, very, very difficult to overcome the influence of maya. But mameva je prapaddante. Prapaddante. When we surrender unto Krishna, when we take shelter of Krishna, then only we can become free from the influence of the illusory energy of the Lord. So that's what we have to always try to do, to overcome the illusory energy by developing our attraction to Krishna. And that's why you have to always pray to Him. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's a prayer. My Lord, please allow me to develop my attraction for You. Please allow me to become free from this illusory influence of Your external energy, Maya, so that we can develop my attraction, develop my attachment to Your most attractive form, Krishna. You are all attractive. It's a matter of just becoming exposed to You, then naturally we'll become attracted to You. So please allow me to become attracted to You, develop my love for You, so that we can become engaged in Your devotional service as an expression of our love for You. Srila Prabhupada gave us a perfect system, perfect teachings, perfect arrangement. Now we simply have to follow that and everything will be all right. This life will be perfected. This life will achieve the ultimate perfection. And we'll achieve the ultimate goal of our life by developing our loving relationship with Krishna. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Yes, Atma.
Yes, Guru Maharaj.
Yes,
thank you very much. And when I'm speaking on this teleconference, the Mayapur TV viewers will not be able to hear. So that's why I'm asking Anand just to give the instructions on Mayapur TV. He should stand in front of the camera.
He's asking something to you. Yeah, you can tell him. Tell Anand.
If you can just let Anand know to just come in front of the webcam and announce how to ask a question.
Okay. All right. Guru Maharaj, maybe make some announcements or questions or so.
Should we?
Yeah, just some.
Okay, if there's some questions, we can
ask. Hare Krishna, this is Ananda Krishna Prerna. I'm here with Guru Maharaj in a Ayurvedic healing center in Tamil Nadu. And Guru Maharaj has been here for now 9 days, and he's undergoing some Ayurvedic treatment. So we wanted to We wanted to just let you know that these audio recordings will be available on bcswami.com and also on the Google Drive, which is available on BCS Istogosti, which we've sent the link out on. The questions and answers session will start now. If any of you have questions, then please, those who are on MyApple TV can write their questions in the chat box, and they will be read out to Guru Maharaj. Those who are on the free conference call link, please press *6 and you'll enter the queue for questions, and then you'll get your chance to ask the questions to Guru Maharaj. So I'll hand the microphone back to Guru Maharaj. And there's about 150 people online right now, so we'll try and get through the questions efficiently. So, thank you, Hare Krishna. Atma, are you? Atma?
Yes, yes, I'm here.
Okay, so any questions?
There are none on the teleconference right now, so we can just take okay. any that are on MyApple TV.
Okay, can you see them? Okay, so I'll give the phone back to you.
You can just... Yeah. Well, can you just give an overview of Guru Maharaj's program, also waiting for questions?
Okay, so we're still waiting for the questions to stream in. So my brother just requested if we can give an overview of your program. Is that okay? Yeah. So as the questions...
Anna, can you just turn the webcam slightly towards Guru Maharaj so we can see his face?
Yeah, sure. As the questions start to stream in, I'll read them out. In the meantime, I'll just let you know what's going on here. Guru Maharaj is receiving oil-based massages every day, as well as herbal medicines from expert doctors in Ayurveda, who are mainly from Canada. Generally, his program is quite relaxed. 1 hour of massage treatment in the morning and some herbal medicines throughout the day. Nothing else. The idea is to rest and recuperate and relax, you know, away from busy, hectic travel schedule and so on. So the mood of Guru Maharaj is quite relaxed. There's, as you can see, he's quite you know, sort of relaxed, and there's not a busy schedule here. So Guru Maharaj is having a lot of time to write and respond to emails and to write some Vyas Puja offerings and various other dictations. So that's quite nice that he's had time to do that here. Overall, Guru Maharaj's health is fine. The doctors are saying that his condition is pretty normal. There's nothing to be concerned about. So the program for the next 3 months is that Guru Maharaj will be traveling to the U.S. From Ujjain.
No, I'm with Ujjain.
From here to Ujjain and then from Ujjain to the US. So, Atma, any further questions? Any questions online there?
Yeah, there's one on
okay,
my...
So opinion. I'll give the phone back to Guru Maharaj. If you can read the question, and Guru Maharaj will...
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, 1 second.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. To those on the teleconference, please dial *6 if you want to ask a question.
Hare Krishna. So there is one question, I think it's from Mayapur TV. Mahatma Devi Dasi, Maharaj, the fasting on Lord Ram, Ram Navami, is discussed among devotees about the dals and Ekadasi menu on that day. Could you expand on that? Well, generally, on the Vishnu Tattva appearance days, we have we fast. Sometimes we fast till the time when they appeared. For example, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the evening. Therefore, we fast till evening. Then Krishna appeared at midnight. So we fast till midnight. And generally, after at that time, we
don't really break fast. We take Ekadashi, which is called Anukalpa. But those who can fast, they can continue till the next morning and then take grain. General understanding is that on that day, we don't take grain. That means even if we take prasad, say for example in Mayapur, when we, after Abhishek and Arati of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the evening, we distribute prasad, we take prasad, but that prasad is generally Ekadasi prasad. Same with Janmashtami, after midnight we take, but Ekadasi prasad. So, but the other thing is, Prabhupada was not very particular about such strict fasting, especially in the West. Prabhupada wanted us to just render devotional service mostly. But he wanted us to practice, observe the fast on Gaur Purnima and Janmashtami rather strictly. Any other question? Is any other question?
Yes. Guruji, there's a question on the teleconference.
Okay. I meant fasting. Okay, this is continuing from Mother Mahadevi. She wrote, sorry. I meant fasting for Lord Ram's event during the day is discussed by devotees to be very strict, including avoiding certain dals, etc., and also to break it. The fast, Ekadasi menu is recommended. Yes, that's what I was telling also. That when you eat something, you fast till whenever the time is prescribed, and then preferably you make Ekadasi. Okay, Atma, go ahead.
Yes, Guruji, there's a caller on the teleconference. Go ahead with your question.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances, all goes to Srila Prabhupada. I just had a general...
Please,
this is Shashank.
Yes. Hello? Yeah.
This is Shashank.
Okay.
Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I would just like to know how I should worship Lord Ram, because Lord Ram is different from Krishna, but since we are supposed to be primarily worshipping Krishna, so how should we pray to Ram? In what mood?
Yeah. By worshipping Krishna, you are actually worshipping Lord Ramchandra. Our worshipable Lord.
Oh, Guru Maharaj, can you please repeat the question?
Yeah. By worshipping Krishna, you are worshipping Lord Ramchandra. By worshipping Krishna, you are worshipping Lord Ramchandra. And on Ram Navami, you just fast and observe and remember Lord Ramchandra's pastimes. But the actual attachment is, our actual attachment is to Krishna. In this respect, we can recall, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami had a brother, Anupam. So, can you hear me?
Yeah, they don't know what the question is.
For Mayapur TV viewers, the question is like, how do we worship Lord Ramchandra? We are devotees of Krishna, so our main worship is to Krishna. So how do we worship Lord Ramchandra? So in answer, I was saying that yes, we are devotees of Krishna. Because actually we are devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised that we worship Krishna. But still, we know that Lord Ramchandra is the Marjada Purushottam. So we worship him also. And the best way to worship him is by following his example. And
in this respect, I was just about to tell one anecdote that Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami had a brother who was the father of Jiva Goswami. His name was Anupam. Anupam was a devotee of Lord Ramchandra. And Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami advised him that, look, worshipping Krishna is the ideal worship because Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead and Lord Ramchandra is his expansion. And so Anupam, who was a devotee of Ramchandra, he took some time to think over, and he, next morning, he told them that, look, I thought about it throughout the night, but I can't give up my attachment to Lord Ramchandra. Although I can understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Ramchandra is his expansion, I can't give up my attachment. Then Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami told him that, okay, it's glorious that you have developed such attachment to Lord Ramchandra. He is your master. The servant who doesn't give up the master and the master who doesn't give up the servant are the ideal. So this is how an example has been set. Like, it depends where your attachment is. There will be some rare occasions where the main attachment will be to Lord Ramchandra or some other expansions of the Lord. So if that deep attachment is there, that you cannot give up that attachment, yes, then you can become a devotee of Lord Ramchandra and worship him. That's fine. But generally, our goal is Krishna of Vrindavan. Not even Krishna of Dwarka, but Krishna of Vrindavan. Not Mathuresh Krishna, not Dwarkesh Krishna, but Brajendra Nandan Krishna. That is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us. Thank you. So another question from
Surit Krishna Prabhu in New Zealand.
Okay, so this is from Mayapur TV. Surit Krishna is writing, Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, are the pastimes of Ramchandra which were enacted on earth in Treta Yuga going on in Ayodhya of Vaikuntha too? Yes. This original abode of Lord Ramchandra is Ayodhya in Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha there is a region of Ayodhya. In Vaikuntha there is a region of Ayodhya. But this Ayodhya, there his pastimes is still going on. Then the next question, okay. Arjun Sakha Das, Hare Krishna Maharaj, when we chant Ram in Hare Krishna Mahamantra, are we denoting to Lord Ram? And should we think that we are praying to Lord Ram as well as by chanting the Mahamantra? Again, it is a matter of sambandha gyan, where your relationship is. If your attachment is to Ramchandra, then this Ram will mean Dasarathi Ram. This Rama can indicate three personalities. Lord Ramchandra, the son of Dasarath. It can also indicate Balaram Ram. And it can also mean Radha Raman Ram. So, generally for us, it is either Balaram or Krishna himself who is the Lord of Radharani, Radha Raman Ram. So, for how long should we go on? Okay, another question from Mayapur TV. Sheetal from Indore, Sheetal Arora, when mind gets distracted in those moments, how should we remind ourselves that our real purpose is to please Krishna and develop love for Him? When our mind gets distracted, that means when our mind
is in when we are in Maya. So the question is actually, when we are in Maya, how we are going to remember the Lord? The only way you can overcome Maya is by remembering the Lord. So when you realize that you are in Maya, your mind is getting distracted. So remember the Lord even more intensely. Try to make it a point that... So how to do that? You can do it in various ways. You can chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but then also the mind may get distracted. Then you can discuss, sit down with devotees and discuss about Krishna's pastimes. Or you can read Prabhupada's books and remember him, remember Krishna that way. So the best way to remember Krishna is by hearing and chanting, mainly hearing. Often we chant but don't hear. Often we read but we don't hear. Often we hear but don't hear. So hearing is the most important thing, shravanam. Therefore this process is called shrautapantha. Okay, Atma, is there any question from the teleconference?
Yes, Guru Maharaj, Hare Krishna, there's one question.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, this is Nanda Dalal. Please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Sure. I could see you, Maharaj, that in Mayapur TV, that your health has little better than when I saw in the different occasions. So,
well, material body is always changing. Don't worry about it.
My question is, Prabhupada mentioned that when Ramchandra was reigning, there was Shvetayuga at that time. So in Kali Yuga, is there any prophecy that Shvetayuga will be there?
Was that? I couldn't get that.
Prabhupada mentioned about Ramchandra that when Ramchandra was present, Shvetayuga was prevailing at that period.
It was
not Shvetayuga actually. And so my question is, did Prabhupada mention any place or we have that this...
I got your question. Yeah, so during Ramchandra's pastimes, the question is, when Ramchandra was ruling here on this planet, Satyayuga was established. Now, is there any mention by Prabhupada that in Kali Yuga also Satyayuga will be established? Well, the answer is, I did not directly hear from Prabhupada, but I heard from others that Prabhupada said that in the middle of the Kali Yuga, for 10,000 years, Satyayuga will be established. Satyayuga will be established in Kali Yuga, in the middle of Kali Yuga. That is when Krishna consciousness movement will spread all over the world, yes, Satyayuga will be established.
Thank you, Guru.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. There's one more question on the teleconference. Would you like to take?
Yeah, please.
Hare Krishna Gurudev, this is Rohini Priya. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Besides Bhagavatam and Ramayana told by Krishna Dharma, is there any other authorized scripture that we can use to read more about Ramayana if we wanted to? And just touch really fast on, we read Valmiki's Ramayana and there's also Tulsidas's Ramayana. Can you just explain very quickly a little?
Yeah. Well, Tulsidas is, the question is that is coming from Rohini Priya from New York. She's asking that I read Mahabharata and Ramayana by Krishna Dharma Prabhu. But is there any other authorized Ramayana and Mahabharata? Well,
In ISKCON, there is another Ramayana. Okay, and she also has Valmiki's Ramayana and Tulsidas's Ramayana. Actually, the original Ramayana is Valmiki's Ramayana. Tulsidas's Ramayana is considered to be not really bona fide. It's, at least I heard that Prabhupada said that Tulsidas's Ramayana is not bona fide. There is touches. He describes Ramchandra's pastimes, but there are touches of impersonalism there. And then, as far as reading Ramayana in English, I can say that there is another very good Ramayana and Mahabharata translated by Purnaprajna Prabhu. Purnaprajna Prabhu is one of our god brothers, and he, at least I like his Ramayana and Mahabharata very much, the way he has transcribed it, he has translated it.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Actually, the original Ramayana is Balmiki. Tulsidas's Ramayana
is repeating. I don't know why.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj?
Any other question?
Yeah. No, that was the last question, Guru Maharaj. So we have no more questions.
Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Thank you for all of the teleconference participants. And
how many were there in the teleconference?
Guru Maharaj, there were 20 callers on the teleconference, and there were 50 viewers on Mayapur TV, and there was another 50 in Ujjain. So at least, and in fact, on the Mayapur TV, there would have been multiple people on each on each line, so probably 150 people in total. So much.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. And wants to say something.
Yes, Guru.
So thank you very much for logging in to Mayapur TV and to free conference calling. This class will be available on BCS is the Ghosty. Guru Maharaj is going to Ujjain, and we'll hopefully have some more classes next week. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.